Everyone is on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I am super excited once again. I have an extra special guest today. Her name is Chelsea Abrams. She is a CPA, a realtor in Maryland. She also invests herself in a lot of different markets around the country. She's starting to invest internationally, so a lot of exciting things to talk about. She does a whole bunch of webinars and seminars on Clubhouse, YouTube. She's just all over the place, so really excited to hear all the great knowledge that she's going to drop on us today. So, Chelsea, how are you? Thank you for joining me.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Awesome. So, let's jump right into it. I want to talk a little bit about you as a CPA first and foremost. So what made you interested in wanting to become a CPA?
I was good at it, I guess. So I actually went to school for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually didn't like it. I thought it was going to be something different than what it was. And mm-hmm. it ended up being like more research, and I took an accounting class, and it, for me, it came pretty easy. And my accounting teacher was like, well, you're going to be an accounting major by the end of the year. I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, I don't even know what this is. And he was right. I ended up switching to accounting. I fought it for a while. I was in the accounting space for 5 years before I finally like, okay, I'm getting my CPA. Mm-hmm. And I ended up falling in love with it.
Well, it's definitely always going to be a needed skill, a needed service. So, you know, always ready to get that bag. So how did your experience as a CPA lead you to get into real estate?
So, okay. When I was in school, I went to Temple. I felt like I got exposure to a lot of stuff. And while there, I ended up, like I said, I switched to accounting. So I started doing taxes. There are different people who were taking their student loans and buying real estate. I took my real estate classes because I was like, oh, I'm going to get my real estate license. Still tried to figure out exactly what it was, and then insurance. I wanted to have a tax firm. I wanted to have an insurance company, and I wanted to do real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up not getting my real estate license after I graduated. I had started my master's in taxation and I stopped, and I never even touched insurance. So all the things I wanted to do, they just seemed like dreams back then. I bought my first property when I was 22, mm-hmm. but then it was 7 years before I bought the next one. And at that point, that's when I felt like everything opened up. I did taxes like part-time, but I really started to pick up on the accounting and doing that. Now I have my own business in it. Started with the real estate because it was something that I always wanted to do. I understood the value of it, but mm-hmm. just the things that I learned over like the years really started to get into that like wholeheartedly. And then the insurance came a couple years ago, so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I definitely want to talk about the insurance. But first off, where was your first property? Was it in Pennsylvania or was it in Maryland?
It's in Baltimore. So right now, all of my properties are in Baltimore or Baltimore area.
Okay. Okay. And so how, I guess, I want to know, because, you know, we're in the heart of tax season. And, you know, everyone is now on board with talking about real estate investing a lot. And, you know, taxes, the advantages of having real estate and taxes go hand in hand a lot. So I guess what are some tips or some strategies or just something really briefly that you can share that, you know, are the advantages of having real estate in terms of taxes?
Oh, okay. So there are, how I like to explain things, I give comparisons, right? Because if you can understand what something is like, it helps you to really move forward. So you have to pay for somewhere to live, right?
Right.
It does not matter where you live, how old you are, what you're doing, you have to live somewhere. As right. much as technology changes, the one thing that is not going to change is we are being within these bodies, and these bodies need shelter. So if you're paying rent for something, that is money that goes away forever. There's nothing that you can really do with that. So it's a cost that's there, it's sunk, right? With real estate, what if you're purchasing, whether it's your main property, an investment property, whatever the case is, you're able to at least recoup your value. So I tell people that's one of the first benefits. You can get your money back when you sell your property. So mm-hmm. the money that you put into living, you'll be able to get back. Because more often than not, as I know you know, rent is more expensive than mortgages for a comparable property.
Absolutely.
More often than not.
Yep.
Or people wouldn't rent them out, right? Mm-hmm. When you sell your primary residence that you've been living in for 2 out of the past 5 years, you don't have to pay taxes on any capital gains up to $250,000 if you're single, or $500,000 if you're married. So that's mm-hmm. a huge thing. That's right. money that you get. Not only do you get the money back that you put into it, so that's called your basis. I'm trying not to get too technical, but I want people to learn stuff as well. But that's mm-hmm. called your basis, what you purchased the property for, what you put into it. And then the capital gain is everything above that amount when you mm-hmm. sell it. So it's essentially that appreciation. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the huge benefits. Then we can get into like all the technical stuff where we talk about the depreciation and being able to kind of defer your taxes with like the 1031 and like-kind exchanges. And then my favorite, opportunity zone. So there are a lot of tax advantages and benefits with real estate that you cannot get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so how does, you said you do life insurance now. So how does that kind of fit into the mix as far as real estate?
Okay. So I'll say that kind of fits into taxes. And there is like a component that ties into real estate. I'm really all about having a tax smart life. And one of the best ways to have a tax efficient, tax smart life is by having real estate, because like I said, there are a ton of tax advantages there. And then life insurance, because there are a ton of advantages there. So that's kind of how those two, I think, fit together. They're both tax advantage vehicles. Similar to the example that I gave with rent, you have your term insurance policy, which kind of just goes away. You get nothing from it. But I'm really a big proponent of cash value life insurance policies. So those are ones where it's permanent policies. So yes, we are all going to die someday. We all know that. It's sad, but it's also a beautiful thing, because that's, you know, the whole cycle of life. But we're able to then pass the financial wealth and mm-hmm. Benefits onto our family with life insurance tax-free. But how I've been using my policy, because we all know about like the, I'll call it like the sad part, you know, you can use it when you're alive. So with the cash value policies, you're able to then borrow and pull money out. I use it to invest in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the things that I like to tell people. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I agree. I like whole life as well, because you're borrowing the money. And then if you're getting one that pays you dividends, like the money that you borrow, it's still technically in there. So you're still accruing the dividends mm-hmm. while you take your money out. And then you also, it's great because you don't have to go through the whole process of a bank, which is right. kind of the biggest benefit for me. So you can borrow your money and it's a lower interest rate than you're seeing at these banks. You don't have to go through the whole underwriting process. You don't have to pay all these origination fees. Like, and the money, usually you can call one day and then they'll have the money in the account yeah, the next yeah. day.
Yeah, yeah. So, no credit checks.
Yes, that's amazing. So also, you touched on a little bit about opportunity zones. For those people that may not know what that is, just give us a little quick rundown of what that is.
Okay, so the government said, hey, there are certain areas, it's 25% of every state, 100% of Puerto Rico, that they've deemed areas of investment. So these are opportunity zones. They want people to come into these areas, help to revitalize them, invest in them, and they'll get tax advantages.
Mm-hmm.
We're in 2021 now, so it has to be by the end of this tax year. if you buy a property in 2021, you are eligible to get a step down in basis. We talked about basis earlier. That's the money that you like are putting into it for any capital gains that you put into purchase one of these properties. So for instance, if you take have $100,000 capital gains, you put the $100,000 into another property, after 5 years, you only owe taxes on $90,000. Now, we've taken this $100,000, we bought this building. We put $100,000 into the building to renovate it, rehab, you know, revitalize it. The building is now worth $300,000. That's after year one. We did the right numbers, you know, we doubled our investment, essentially. We increased the value. It's now worth $300,000. Now, other people are coming into the area. Other people are starting to buy into the area, invest into the area. And 10 years later, this property that you bought for $100,000 is now worth $600,000. You're able to take the appreciation on that property 100% tax-free.
Right.
So it's after 10 years. And that is in the opportunity zones. Now, you can't just go buy a house in the opportunity zone and say, hey, I bought a house in the opportunity zone. It has to be in an opportunity fund, and it has to be with capital gains. But I tell people all the time, there's still a lot of advantages and benefits to buying in those areas, because if everyone's coming there, it's going to force the appreciation and the value of the properties up. So even if you can't do it, get it through an opportunity zone, it's not a bad idea to still invest in those areas.
Got it. So let's talk about one of those areas where there's a lot of opportunity zones and where you said you invest in Baltimore. What's your opinion of the state of the market in Baltimore right now?
Oh, well, the market everywhere is kind of crazy because I think it went up 25% or something like that from last year, maybe a little bit more than that at this point. But it's like legit. You hear that, but no, if you go and look at a property that sold in like spring of last year, and then look at where it's selling Q4 or Q1 of 2021, you're going to actually see real 20-25% increases. It's insane. So it's like that everywhere. I always tell people the numbers need to make sense. If the numbers don't make sense, then it's not a good deal. I was able to, you could still find them, but you just have to be very smart about it. So.
Right. And what would your be? Because it seems like it's a seller's market. So what would your advice be to people that want to sell?
The people who want to sell?
Yep.
Oh, if you can sell right now, especially if you're going to get that 2 out of the 5 years and it's your primary residence, walk away with that tax-free money. At that point, maybe it might make sense to rent for a year, see what happens with the market, to see if you can kind of capitalize on a downturn. But who knows? It could keep going up.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. We don't know.
We don't know.
It's crazy everywhere. Like you said, it's crazy everywhere. All right. And then you, we talked before and you were mentioning that you're considering investing outside of the U.S. So tell me a little bit about how that's going and how you kind of just came up with that idea.
So just like in traveling, I always look at different opportunities. Years ago, my brother, sister, and I said that we wanted to own like properties in a bunch of different countries, like, you know, vacation properties that we can then rent out. I was like, okay, I'm like, this decade is all about making all of my childhood affirmations, desires, dreams, whatever you want to call them, come true. Right. So I started just like looking, I connected with a realtor in Mexico, developer in Mexico, and kind of have like a deal in Tulum with the buildings and properties that they have there, beautiful condos. So,
What's the, I guess, what's the price ranges that you're seeing in Mexico? And then is there any particular process that you have to go through in terms of like the exchange of currency or anything like that specifically to Mexico to transact in real estate?
I think it depends on the company. This particular company will work with people in USD. And they also will take retirement funds, so you can have the retirement funds invest in the property there. Mm-hmm. So that is something that is possible. Okay. I know my broker slash partner was looking in Colombia. So Colombia depends. I think that they had to do the exchange, but there's also a different value if you're local versus if you are US.
Mm. So you think there's a lot of like just nuances there, just depending on where you're buying.
Absolutely. Like where you're buying, you have to understand like the laws of that country. Mm. You have to understand the tax implications. I have like I have a girl for that. I am not that girl. I'm not international tax law, but I do. There are different things that you need to consider when you're starting to look at even the foreign exchange value of the price of the property going up and down and different things like that that you need to consider. And then also just the ownership, how the ownership works in the country. So everywhere is different. There's like a Liberian and Liberia, if you're not Liberian, you can't technically own the land there. You could do a 100-year lease. Mm. So after 100 years, it's like you own it, but technically you can't own the land there. So you just have to understand the laws of different countries.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good information for sure. So besides all of that, you do a bunch of, I've seen you on Clubhouse. I see you've got YouTube webinars and stuff. Tell me about a little of the things that you're doing with that.
Okay, so Clubhouse, I teach the room that I'm in, part of a group, it's like the Pure Money Gang, and I teach on Wednesdays, normally 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, mm-hmm. like really all things money. So I'll do things from the other day, yesterday, because yesterday was Wednesday, I had someone come in and talk about stocks. So really helping to break down what it is, how people can get into it, how you can make money, and understanding that making money doesn't mean that you're making money this year. Sometimes it's a long-term play and what right. you need to do to kind of set yourself up for smart long-term plays. And if you are a little bit more advanced, what you need to consider for like the short term. Sometimes we talk about real estate, basic money budgeting and other financial literacy items. We'll talk about taxes. Love talking about taxes because helping people understand their biggest expense, because it definitely is 1/3 of our life, if not more. It can be up to 50% between property tax, sales tax, payroll tax, income tax, estate tax, all the different taxes.
Right.
Just understanding how we can kind of build more efficiencies in our life. Okay. So I talk about a lot on Clubhouse. YouTube, I have my channel. I've been trying to be more active. I do these skits. I don't know if you saw those. I have these characters that kind of represent different business personality profiles to kind of just help reach people and teach them different things that they need to know.
Okay, that's cool. I definitely like, because, you know, everybody's on YouTube now talking about investing and, you know, financial implications. But if you put, you know, some personality and it's like a skit, then that's cool. I definitely want to check it out. Yeah. So put the links to your YouTube channel on the show notes and stuff. So we can definitely check that out. All right. And then I want to go back to really quick when you mentioned about investing in your retirement account. Is there any special implications as far as that, as far as like investing in real estate, and especially if you're talking about getting leverage in an IRA account or anything?
So self-directed IRAs, or if you have a solo 401k, you can take the money that you have in those accounts and invest into property. If it's in a Roth account, then it's tax-free, right? You just bought this property, have appreciation or growth on the property tax-free. But remember, your retirement account owns it. So the rules of retirement accounts still apply. Mm-hmm. If you are under 59 and a half, then you're not able to take the money without penalty. But with a Roth account, if you had to like take some of the money out that you put in, you could take that out without penalty because you've already paid taxes on that money. But right. the goal isn't to just like have the money in there and just be taking it out. And if you take the gain out, then that's when you put yourself in a little bit of trouble. But as far as like the deferred accounts, so that's like your traditional, like your 401k, And money that you have not paid taxes on, when you transfer those to like the self-directed IRA, you can invest in the property, buy the property, whatever the case is. You can use it for businesses. You can use it for different things. I always tell people, why not use it for real estate? And it's tax deferred. So you have to pay taxes on it, but you don't have to pay taxes on it until you take the money out at 59 and a half the earliest, or when you're required to make your minimum distributions at 72.
Right. Okay. All right, and there's one other thing that you said that you have coming up. It's called the Gaslit Conference.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What does that stand for? Because I know it's an acronym.
Yes, it's an acronym. So Gaslit. So it kind of works because, you know, you want to gas, you light it up, sets on fire, and catches everywhere. We want this to catch on to everyone. But it's government contracts, automation, systems, land, investments, and taxes. So that is what it stands for. It is going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, May 14th and 15th. We're going to be talking about lots of different topics, have a panel discussion, breakout rooms, different things to make sure that we are creating a life that is recession-proof. We can pass down that generational wealth, and we are living these fabulous lives that we all want and deserve to live. So
awesome. That should be great. How many people are you expecting for that?
Around 300.
Okay. Should be a good, is it mostly for people of color it's geared toward, or the women mostly?
Well, it's not geared towards women or men. We are all welcome. I will say it is mainly people of color because the audience is people of color. Like all the presenters are. We are all Black people.
Right.
But everyone is welcome. So it's open.
Okay.
But we want to make sure that we are getting this information.
Yeah, for sure. They've been holding this information back from us. So we need to disseminate it amongst ourselves for sure. Yeah. In terms of you investing personally, I know you said all your properties are now in the Baltimore area. What's your, I guess, outlook for your own investing going forward, 2021 and beyond?
I'm thinking about maybe moving down to the south, not physically moving, but moving my investment portfolio, doing some stuff in the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I've been thinking about. I want to start exploring other parts of the U.S. a little bit more. I've been seeing some good opportunities. Not that I won't get anything here. I'm working on a project right now. After I wrap this one up, there's another one that I plan on getting that is in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely thinking about expanding.
Okay, yeah. A lot of people say down south, like Atlanta, but I feel like that market is getting super saturated. So I'm hearing more and more the Carolinas is where people are going to find deals. So that's awesome. Looking forward to staying tuned about what you do with that. So any other initiatives or events or anything else that you have coming up that you want to share with the audience?
Well, I am starting a pretty much a girls money group. I don't want to commit to the name, but I'll ask you, what you think about it.
Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're coming up with I'll ask you offline. You know, you guys, by the time we have the show notes out, we might have the group in there. So,
okay, is it gonna be on Clubhouse or is it gonna
be? It'll be a Facebook group.
On Facebook, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So just making sure that we're sharing the different money tips and we are living these fabulous lives.
Yes, that would be awesome. Okay, yeah, I love Facebook groups because people just be dropping all their questions and then you can learn so much just from other people asking questions. So
right. That
would be dope for sure. Yeah. All right, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, we're going to talk offline and talk about a good name for that. All right, so let's move on to the last segment of the show, which is called The Fabulous Four. And it's just four questions that I ask every guest. So whatever, comes to mind, just go for it. And so the first question is, what's your favorite book that you read about real estate? Or if you don't have one necessarily about real estate, about business or entrepreneurship or anything like that?
So, yeah, I don't have one on real estate, but I will say it's a textbook. So it's like, what your CPA has been telling you. So it really does talk to you about a lot of the different tips and tricks. And real estate is in there.
Okay. Definitely want to check out. Like I said, it's tax season. So everybody trying to get those last, you know, different deductions and whatnot. Oh, I did wanted to ask you before we go into the next thing, is there any special rules or any special laws that have come up, you know, because of COVID last year or anything that people should be aware of for this specific tax season?
Well, there are several things that come up with COVID, but one of the big ones that I've seen affect people the most is like the withdrawals on like 401k and money from their retirement accounts. So right. If that's the case, you do have the option to pay it back in 3 years. How that works is you would take, let's say you took out $9,000. You would take the $9,000 divided by three. You would recognize a third this year, a third next year, and a third the following year, because mm-hmm. you had those 3 years to pay it back. And you are able to then pay it back within those 3 years. You don't have to necessarily say I'm paying back a third this year. So right. if you end up paying $3,000 back in 2022, you would just do an amendment for this year to reduce the amount that you claimed. But yeah.
No, that's definitely huge though, because like you said, it's a lot of you know, penalties if you take it out early, but they waive that for the next 3 years. So you can use that money to invest and hopefully, you know, if you get a return on that, you can put it back in, and now that's an even more contributions to your IRA.
Yeah.
So cool. All right. So back to the Fabulous Four questions. The second one is, what advice would you give to your younger self just getting started with your career?
Stop waiting for someone else and just do it.
All right. Good advice. Just go for it.
Just go for it.
Number three question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
I want to learn more about, international, which that we've talked about that. So I've been trying to learn more about that. But while I know a lot of the, I'll say creative financing, I know them, I'm not actually employed a lot of the ones that people talk about. I've done some of my own creative financing, but I want to learn more about different ways to kind of finance deals, especially larger deals in the commercial right. space.
Okay. Without going dealing with that bank, that's how we got to do.
Yeah.
All right. Number four is give a shout out to another woman that's doing some amazing things right now in real estate.
Can I shout you out?
Of course. I appreciate you, but I would love to hear.
You want me to do someone else? So, Glenda Jackson, right? She's phenomenal. And Beth, I'm going to say her last name wrong. They're both, so part of the Marilyn Rhea. Mm-hmm. I adore both of them. Beth is amazing. She has been in the fix and flip, buy and hold. She teaches. She is absolutely phenomenal. And Glenda, she has a construction company. So she is a Black woman in construction, which I love. Really good, really smart. Her work is beautiful. So both of them, I would love to shout out, Glenda and Beth.
Okay, shout out to them. And definitely shout out to Black Girl Magic in construction, because that's one area we definitely need more of us in. So definitely represent. Awesome. So lastly, how can people get in contact with you if they, you know, need a CPA or they want to find out about some of the events and stuff that you have going on, or just be able to follow you on social media to, you know, stay in touch with you?
So you guys can, the easiest way, if you go to social media and type in Chelsea J CPA, so it's Chelsea with a Y, C-H-E-L-S-E-Y-J CPA, I pop up. And then that's also my website, chelseajcpa.com. So you're able to reach me. And it has actually the links to all my different businesses and things that I'm going on. So, yeah.
All right. All right. Cool. One-stop shop. Nice and easy. All right. So lastly, you have any words, final words of wisdom, or just anything you want to share lastly with the audience?
No, thank you. I definitely think real estate is one of the biggest things to do to make sure that you are building that generational life having a tax smart life and being able to enjoy and do the things that you want to do. It's a beautiful thing. We're always going to need somewhere to live. You might as well own it, opposed to paying someone else to for a place for you to live.
Yes, always think about being the owner instead of the consumer. So definitely good advice. I appreciate it. All right. Well, this was another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. Thank you again to my guest, Chelsea Abrams. She's, like I said, CPA and realtor in Maryland, and she's doing a bunch of other wonderful initiatives, specifically for women, specifically for people of color, to just, you know, get us more educated on financial literacy and all these creative tax strategies, strategies with real estate, so we can create this wealth out here. So again, thank you, Chelsea. Appreciate it. And we'll see y'all on the next one. Thank you.